Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. All right, and welcome, Seekers, to podcast number 62 of God Beyond the Bible, the podcast made by Seekers and for Seekers. And I hope everybody knows what that means when we say Seekers. We use that a lot. Our hope is that no matter where you are as you listen to our little podcast, that you are well and safe. At times like these, we need our faith. Not that doomsday rhetoric and propaganda that many who claim to be speaking for God are distributing that only adds to our anxiety and frustration, but a simple faith that somehow, in some invisible way, God is using our current global situation to distract us and even redirect us as humanity. Yes. Away from the path of division that our world has spent the past few decades so deeply immersed in. And we might see that regardless of our race, creed, gender, social, or economic situation, as humankind, we are all pretty much equally at risk. So perhaps in some ways, our normal, social, philosophical, and religious barriers that divide us will be at least temporarily breached, and we see ourselves as just humankind with a single goal, and that is to remain safe while doing all we can to relieve the suffering of others. What about shout-outs for today?
All right. Our shout-outs are to B. Paul, Joe, Carlos, and all of our listeners in France and Ireland.
All right,
we've picked
y'all
up a pretty good amount of listeners there.
So that's awesome. That's great. And that, I want to say, I just want to shout out, it'll be a long time before he hears it, but out to Craig, he just started listening yesterday and just texted me and said, I listened to the first episode, I'll try to get caught up.
No. Oh, awesome. Welcome,
so anyway,
welcome.
Yeah, so I just want to shout out to him. When you get to episode 62, you'll hear your name.
That's right. So for our quote of the week, I picked one, and it's actually from an unknown author, but it's, we forget we were made in the image of God because we spend so much time making God in our own image.
That's good.
Oh, I like that.
That's good. Okay. Last week, episode 61, we talked about our life lens. That is how each of us view life according to individual perspective and life experience. We may see the same event, yet interpret that event very differently as we view it through our particular life lens.
And you know, after which we recorded that last week also, and after that, everything that happened, I caught myself when, you know, looking, okay, am I reacting this way because of the way,
yes,
you know?
And we do to a great degree. We, yeah, you know, okay, what's causing me to think this
exactly
way? Why do I approach this from that?
Okay, well, on this episode, we're only going to have two segments, and we wish to address the question, as humankind, is God behind us, calling us back to a former time and relationship with Him? Or is God ahead of us, beckoning us towards a future time with a new and better relationship with Him?
So let's go ahead and dive right into segment one. And the answer to this question is more or less dependent on how we perceive God to begin with. And this is tied to our last episode in this way. We all have a God lens, a perspective from which each of us view and interpret God and spiritual things. And that lens is as diverse as we are as individuals.
It is.
Well said. So what are some of the very different ways God is perceived as far as the direction He's trying to take mankind? Well, today we want to focus on two main trains of thought. The first is that God is behind us, somewhere in our past. Now, we don't hear it put like that, but we hear that implied, that God is behind us somewhere in our past, pleading us to return, repent, come back to Him. We hear evangelicals of our day using this premise to explain all the ills of global society. If we would only repent and turn back to God. We even hear it being used to explain the recent health crisis we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you had done this episode, because I started writing down this week just like the top few times on social media that I saw something like this posted. And one of them was, we need to get back to the old time religion. We need to get back to God and ask forgiveness. We need to get back to the Bible because it's the only word of God. And if we don't, this one really bothered me. I mean, I'm just going to say, if we don't quit sinning and get back to God soon, He's going to leave us here forever.
Oh, wow. Well, and you guys, you don't know the next one that I've just written today that I'll hand off to you today. It's basically dealing with this. So dealing with that. So you can remember that. And that actually will, you'll find out it'll apply more to next week's episode even more than it. It does apply to this one.
Okay. So let's spend this first segment exploring the idea that God has remained static. He's in some particular point in history of the planet and humankind. And we as humankind have socially, philosophically, and even technologically left him behind in some era long past. I mean, do we ever hear that message being proclaimed?
Yes.
I think we're hearing it a lot right now. Yeah. You know, what we just heard. Some of the quotes of that. Yeah.
Every time we as humankind encounter a new challenge, we're almost guaranteed to hear someone quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14 that reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And that's out of the King James Version.
Yeah, and it's curious that most people who quote this Old Testament, Old Covenant verse don't know who it was, you know, who said it, or even what the circumstances were that were surrounding the original statement. Or even who was being addressed in that statement
to
begin
with. Yeah,
very important.
Yet you'll hear this verse and similar verses used to condemn the actions of the progress of humankind as though we have somehow left God behind somewhere in the past.
Well, the fact is that this verse that there in 2 Chronicles was part of the speech that King Solomon used to address the Israelites at the completion of the dedication to the first Jerusalem temple. It was addressed strictly to the nation of Israel and was a condition of their conditional covenant with God as a nation. This is the only context that this condition ever applied. And we are told in the text leading up to this statement that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and told him to make a speech to the people of the nation of Israel containing the aforementioned statement, along with many more conditions concerning their use of the temple and its impact on their national prosperity or demise.
And I have to say, I used to get really, really upset because there were a couple of biblical teachers that I really liked, but they would say things like, stop quoting these promises like they apply to you. And I'm like, well, the whole Bible applies to everyone. And then as I started putting things in perspective, I went, okay, he might have had something.
Well, just the case in hand, like the point that we made.
It is at the very least interesting that none of the other conditional statements were plucked out of this speech, which also contained conditions of how Solomon was to ensure the family bloodline as ruling as kings over the covenant nation, to which we all know he did not keep, and thus he was the last king to rule over the entire nation, as it was broken up into provinces, and Solomon's sons were reduced to ruling only the land of Judah.
But it's this kind of treatment of historical statements that lends to the mindset that God's calling mankind back to a former time. But the reality is, this was a statement pointing to the nation's future. As the dedication of the very first temple, a new era had begun, and a new page in the story of Israel's covenant relationship with God was just beginning.
Sure. So those who still maintain that mindset are prone to lean heavily on Israel's covenant relationship with God and try to apply the same conditions to man's relationship with God today, using this text and many others to give the illusion that God is somewhere in our distant past, beckoning us back, and even giving God the credit and making Him responsible for every ill that befalls humankind in our world today. just and I like
have been
we're
guilty
hearing today.
Of that as well.
Well,
just
we all have. Yeah. We all have. And next, again, not to just this is not just a segue, but next episode is going to go a little deeper into this kind of rhetoric and mindset and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And once again, it all contributes to that ancient perception of God as being angry and unappeasable and desires his creation to spend their brief period of existence on earth anxious and afraid. And at the same time, rejecting any progress we've made as humankind as base and evil, no matter how beneficial it has been in relieving the suffering of the human race.
Well, let me just go ahead and make a statement here. Isn't mm-hmm. it funny that if it comes down to life and death, we'll embrace the technology?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I know there are a few that just won't know this is, you know, I mean, that's always been a few, but I'm talking about as a whole, even as the church, as believers, you know, who's going to lay around and suffer if there's a medicine?
Exactly.
I'm not.
To relieve the suffering. Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone with, I've told, no telling how many times during this crisis, I've told people that I see out somewhere in the business and always social distancing, of course, but that I'll talk to them and they'll talk about, and I say, well, now wait a minute. I would look at it like this. God gave me feet. I use them. I'm walking on them right now. Yes. He gave me hands. I'm working with them. He gave me a brain. Mm-hmm. And I ought to be able to use that. You know, I think I ought to utilize that just as much as I'd utilize any of the other things that I believe he gave me.
Absolutely. Guys, we don't have to look very far to see whole groups of people who reject any medical or technological advancements of our modern world, and they view them as being in conflict with God's desire for the human race. And at the same time, they see their rejection of these things as something that puts them in a position of God being more pleased with them for their God of the past approach.
And that's what it is. It's God of the past. And that's all we're trying to establish here. You have to be careful. It's easy to get that mindset that somehow we've left God behind.
Yes.
He's back there somewhere way in the past. He's back at Mount Sinai. I said this to a guy yesterday. I was talking. I said, the problem is we act like we think God's still back there at Sinai, waving people, you need to come here to the mountain of thunder and lightning. And
you have to wonder, is part of it just that, because, you know, people have that olden days, the good old days mentality. Is it just that we think things were so much better way back when, even though if you really look at it, they clearly weren't?
I call it the Mayberry syndrome.
Yeah. I miss Mayberry. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mayberry syndrome.
I think there's a part of it that's that. And there's a part of it that's a fear of the unknown. Nobody likes to just dive headlong into things that we don't know and move forward. It's easier to stay behind in what we know.
Well, but I am an adventurer and I kind of like change. I mean, I'm one that I kind of like things. I start getting bored. Things just start staying. Just continue on up and day, get up every day, do the same thing every day. And, you know, I am a little bit a person of change. Right. A challenge. I like challenge, I think, more than anything.
Well, here's a guy that finally dove in and got a cell phone with texting and now he can't go back.
I know.
Well, I embrace it. I fully embrace it because I don't have to answer those calls from people I don't want to talk to.
He means us. Yeah. Exactly.
I can choose. It makes it easier to screen. And besides, I don't have... No, I mean, seriously, this is just going off on a rant, but do you ever have those people that you just dread to talk to on the phone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to have a guy in the first church I pastored, and this is the way he'd answer the phone when it was him. And that was before we had caller ID. So you just answered your phone.
Right.
And it's just going to be a surprise. And, you know, this is me answering, hello. Well, hi.
Oh dear.
Well, I just don't know. And I'm serious. It's just like, man, cut the volume. Let's go. Anyway, hey, with that thought, we'll pause, regroup, and return with the part two of this two-part episode of God Beyond the Bible.
Okay, welcome back, Seekers, to episode 62 of God Beyond the Bible. Today we are challenging our listeners to evaluate the two conflicting views of where God is in the world we live in. Is he somewhere in the past beckoning us to return to a more primitive relationship?
Old-timey discouragement.
Right? Like the one the nation of Israel had with him under the old conditional covenant? Or is God the God of the future? He's out in front of us, beckoning us to embrace him right now, right where we are in history, and in the same process, blessing us by allowing us or even aiding us in our scientific, medical, and technological advancements.
And I still have to go back to Miss June, a lady on my route, and one of the things she tells me every time she comes out when I'm picking up her garbage, she'll tell me something new she's seen on TV. And she'll go, is this not the most exciting time to be alive?
That's awesome.
Well,
that's
and especially, you just imagine, I know her, and I know she's probably in her 80s, yes. Well in her 80s. So she's thinking every day's a gift.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like we all should.
Yes, absolutely.
Before we turn 80, we ought to start thinking that every day is a really great gift.
Mm-hmm. So in segment one, we discussed a point of view that has pretty much dominated our modern religious culture, especially the church and the Christian movement itself. And that's the point of view that God is somewhere in the past, beckoning us back to a former time and relationship with him. And that he is not pleased with the advancements that we have made in the scientific, medical, and technological field.
And we have seemed to have lost the concept that everything is inanimate in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing.
Yes.
We give it the power.
Yeah.
Money has no power, only the power we give it. If you think about that, it's all the power we give. And we can use money in very good ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we can use it in very poor ways.
But you know, it even goes back to the misquotation of the scripture. I hear people all the time, well, money is the root of all evil.
No. Love of yes. money.
Yeah.
Greed.
It's our
right.
attitude. It's
greed
talking about our attitude.
Evil.
It really should probably say our attitude towards money.
Right.
Yes.
Our wrong attitudes. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Toward money. Okay. I think it's me, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, it comes down to which image of God we embrace. The image of God that is... That's, you just read that, didn't you?
No, that's you.
Okay. All right. Simply put, it comes down to which image of God we embrace. The image of God, as you guys know, we just cut and back up.
No, we just power through.
We just plow on. The image of God that has pretty much dominated our church culture up to now, and that is God being the God of the past, or an image of God... an image that God is the God of the future, meaning that he is not only pleased with these advancements that have contributed greatly to the relief and the suffering of humankind. And not only is he pleased, but he's actually inspiring and leading us to understand the mysteries of disease and suffering and how to feed the world and all of that kind of stuff and people without shelter. I mean, I'm just ad-libbing here.
Right.
And prompting the discovery of new breakthroughs and advancements in the lives of his creation. Now, this is the image that I see, and I didn't always see, but this is the image I see now. And in no small part, I have to thank Rob Bell. Whether you love him or you hate him, he probably doesn't care.
No.
but this, there's things that Rob Bell says that I don't agree with. Is I'm sure there's things I say that if he ever heard me, doesn't agree with.
Right.
But he ought to pay us some kind of dues for as many times as we've mentioned his name. But he did. He had a deal that in one of the segments of one of his book is, God is ahead of us. God is for us, not against us. God, and he didn't say not against, but God is for us. God is ahead of us. And there was something else there. And I added a bunch to that when I started thinking that process. And I thought, that's right. How can God just be primitive and be behind us and just say, well, I never thought these humans would do that.
Well,
I never thought they'd develop that technology.
Well, and I understand that people that embrace this God of the past mentality, because I was one of those people. I also believed in the God of the future, but I never really realized that I was believing in this God of the future to save me from the God of the past.
You were running between the two gods.
Yeah, I was.
It makes sense.
And that's a really interesting thought that I never really thought of before. You know, another one is with the medical and technological breakthroughs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have never read the story of the man who created the polio vaccine, it is an incredible story and a very spiritual story, beginning to end.
Really?
Yes. And he was a very humble, very great guy. If you guys haven't read it, you should read the story. And I'm not saying his name because I can't remember it.
Okay. Well, that's be worth reading. But so our topic on this, of course, as much as I mangled that part that I was supposed to read, is that now we're talking about he's the God of the future. He
yes.
really is ahead of us somewhere,
right.
Beckoning us, prompting us, inspiring us, blessing us,
mm-hmm.
I think. To as a humankind,
mm-hmm.
not just a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a relatively new concept for our Christian culture, but it is gaining a lot of traction in and among groups of open-minded and free-thinking spiritual seekers of this age. And there's a lot of us out there.
Yeah, there are a lot more than we ever imagined. Yeah.
If you think about it, it comes down to this. Does God want the human race that we understand to be his creation to live lives of disease, suffering, and pain? Or is he pleased to see us make advancements in technology and medicine that relieves that pain and suffering?
And I guess I kind of picture God up there going, good job, guys. I gave you all the pieces and you put the puzzle together. Exactly. You've got this.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And I don't think any rational or logical human being, believer, atheist, or anywhere in between, would categorize great advancements of our recent history, such as the polio vaccine or the development of antibiotics, just to name a couple, as somehow being ungodly or evil, or that God is somehow displeased that such breakthroughs have relieved the sufferings of millions in our modern era.
Well, and let me go back to say, this, if you think about this in this way, this God wants to hold you back and doesn't want you to advance is the very ploy that we're told that the serpent used on Eve. God doesn't want you.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to know.
To be independent. He doesn't want you to know how things really work.
Right.
So how in that story, see, I become more unsure about that story every time I read it, which by the way, and we'll talk about later, but a friend of mine, he did some study on the Jews and he said, did you guys know that this Jewish guy said the Christian culture doesn't know that that was more or less a sort of a child's bedtime story?
Yeah. Really?
That it was, you know, there's some truth there, but we have analyzed it into every word being, and the Jewish people from the Jewish culture say, no, that was a story that.
There was a reason that Jesus told his story in parables, and that is because the Jewish culture understood parables.
They lived their lives in parables.
Truths were told by, I'm going to tell you a story, and you find the understanding in this story.
So am I number six here?
I am.
Okay.
So let's spend the remainder of this segment entertaining the thought that perhaps God not only pleased...
Is not only. I'm sorry, I left out a word
I
there.
Knew that wasn't making
sense. Yeah, I'm sorry.
God is not only pleased with, but is actually instrumental in helping us as the human race to battle hunger and disease in our modern world. What if, for a refreshing change, we endeavored to see God as being out in front of us as humankind, beckoning us into a future where there is far less pain and suffering? And I might should have let you read that one since I struggled so bad.
That's all right. Well, what would our faith community look like if we were to release God from the perception of humankind's primitive past and placed him squarely ahead of us in our future? What if we ignored the narrative of the Old Testament? Now, let me finish. What if we ignored the narrative of the Old Testament that our primitive ancestors used to paint the image of God and merely looked at what God was actually doing to advance humankind
while these events were taking place?
You know, one could easily see the image of a progressive God who was all about the advancement of humankind, trying to drag his coveted creation kicking and screaming into a better place.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the Israelites.
If we put aside the narrative of how man perceived why God did certain things, and we just observed how he used certain events to progress society and humankind, we might gain a much different perspective. And I think we really forget that a lot in the Bible, is that there is a lot of narrative, a lot of opinions.
Put in there by a man saying, hey, God did this because.
Yes.
Well, these guys were telling their story as they saw it.
Listen to how people use it, even in the situation we're in. God's doing this because.
Yes. And you know, we know that when we read a newspaper article, everyone thinks when you see a source, you say,
there's
okay,
some
is this conservative? What?
There's some opinion involved.
What opinion's going to be there? But we don't do that with the
Bible.
And
I have to say, when I read that paragraph, all I could think of was, you know, that image that floats around on the internet and stuff that has God and the man standing on the beach. And God points and he says, where there's only one set of footprints, that's where I carried you. Mm-hmm. And then he says, oh, and over there, those long ruts, that's where I dragged you.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. Tracen, are you A?
I believe so.
Okay. So let's read. We kind of got a bit, but we may gain a different perspective if we ignore the narrative kindly in the Bible, just the author's narrative.
Right.
And we look and see what God was really doing while these events were taking place. And this is an example of that.
While the narrative of the Bible diverts our attention to see God's displeasure and resulting punishment of Cain's actions, we pretty much collectively ignore the advancements, some of which we still enjoy today, that were a result of Cain being banished from his Adamic roots.
Okay, we'll pick up the narrative then in Genesis 4:17, and we'll read through verse 21. That's Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation for clarity. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch after his son. Enoch had a son named Irad. Irad became the father of Mahujael. Mahujael became the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women. The first was named Ada, and the second was Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal, who was the first of those who raise livestock and live in tents. Jabal's brother was named Jubal, and Jubal was the first to play the harp and the flute. Lamech's other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron, end of Bible quote.
So now these advancements all took place within about 100 years or so of Cain's sentence of banishment from his family. Will anyone deny the positive benefit that the domesticating of animals for food, the invention of instruments resulting in song and music, or the invention of the forging process allowing for the development of more advanced tools has had on humankind right up until this very age we're now living in?
I'm wondering how many people listening have read that part of the story and never, because we get so engulfed in the narrative.
Yes.
Yeah. Cain, God's mad. Cain, bad. Cain right. Going to a bad place, mm-hmm. Gonna be, you know, and we're so involved in that we miss this all important. And I'm thinking, look, folks, right there, we don't have to go see when the Bronze Age was or when, if it was the age we said it was, then it came from Cain.
Yes. Right.
Cain's descendants there.
So let's take into consideration that according to the information we have, God specifically chose this particular punishment for Cain that directly led to the single greatest leap in technological advancement recorded up until that time. It has been only the past 100 years or so of our modern society that humankind has made technological advancements that may equal Cain's contribution. Who could argue against the clear fact that the world, as humankind knew it, was changed forever in a positive way?
Mm-hmm. And do you see how God took something, a bad situation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And advanced.
And
made something really good come out of it. You know, okay, if I'm going to have to, it's almost like this. If I'm going to have to punish Cain, what could I do with him to turn something good out of this really bad thing here? And so he puts him over here. I know what I could do. I'll put him over here and he'll get involved with these people and getting involved with these people and marrying into these people. And now I don't want to get into all that, but then we're going to see, I'm going to advance my creation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them the tools to advance.
And I've always sort of seen the Bible verse, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love God. And I've sort of always seen that verse is that things are going to happen, but they can still turn into something good down the road. Just give it a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah. And I apologize if you hear, it sounds like a side-by-side or something.
It's something,
out
yeah.
on the property moving around. Is it moving?
Yes.
It just seems like, is it getting closer?
No, I think it's getting farther away. I can't tell.
I can't tell if it's on the highway.
Y'all may not even be able
we
to
may
hear
have
it.
To, we may have to pause because there may somebody come to the studio door or something there. That's what I was concerned with. Okay, well, let's get back to it. So who could argue against the clear fact that the world, as humankind then knew it, was changed forever in a positive way? It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, started growing food, started domesticating animals, all of this stuff, you know, at that time. Am I 9?
You are.
Okay, the same thing may be said of the dispersion of people resulting from the Tower of Babel incident. We can be sure that the culture and communication, interaction and discoveries and utilization of the Earth's resources were pretty advanced due to that single point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, the giving of laws for mankind to govern himself from Moses' encounter on the mountain was not a restrictive measure, but instead it was an advancement for humankind. Up until then, there had not been a collective set of rules which society should observe and govern themselves to promote morality and fairness in matters of treatment and respect of one another and their property. nor was there a set of boundaries that exposed one person's actions towards another as acceptable or unacceptable. With those divine governing guidelines came the assurance that there would be consequences for ignoring the guidelines, and these would be applied in ways that were not too severe. In other words, the degree of punishment was not too extreme, but was delved out in accordance with the violation. That is clearly what is intended with an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, instead of a death sentence for every breach of the law, as some would have us to believe was the actual intention.
And we've talked about that in previous episodes.
Right.
And how that was actually advancing, man. An eye for an eye, you don't go over because you got your eye put out and kill the neighbor.
Right. Well, and to kind of loosely quote, since we've mentioned him already.
But it didn't mean, let me go on and say, there was nowhere in there that demanded the neighbor's eye be put out.
No.
That was the legal limit. That was the legal limit of the law. Mm-hmm. See, you don't ever hear anybody say, you know, you could just forgive him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's interesting.
I never really thought about that. To kind of loosely quote Rob Bell again, we have to remember that God...
Whose podcast is this anyway?
Yeah. Right. The gods in the Israelites' times were really insatiable. They always demanded more and more, and you never knew where you stood with the gods. And that was kind of the idea with the law, is God stepped up and said, okay, I'm going to bring y'all farther. I'm going to tell you exactly where you stand with me all the time. You'll know. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge advancement for everybody.
Yes, it was.
So the same observations can be made for every event that has impacted mankind from day one. If all we see is the narrative that directs our attention to what went wrong and how angry God was, then we overlook that clear fact that God used every one of those events as an opportunity to advance humankind into a better future. The same may be said of today. Only though, if we see God as the God of the future, who is slowly, step by infant step, coaxing humankind to move closer and closer to the better future that he is willing to make available to those who are brave enough to seek it out.
And in conclusion, do you guys have anything else before we conclude?
I think
okay.
That's it.
In conclusion, if we will but put aside our most primitive instinct to perceive God as desiring to deprive humankind of advancements that lead to the relief of fear, pain, and suffering, and see him as he really is, a force that is not somewhere in our distant past beckoning us back, but a force that is far in front of us, leading and inspiring us to a better world where there's less hating, less hunger, less pain and suffering, we might just discover that he hasn't been inactive or silent at all, but that has that he has a destination and plan that will only be discovered by those who seek him where he really is, in the right now. And in the future, not some distant primitive past.
And as always, may God's grace, peace, and love be on you, in you, and continue to radiate out from you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.